Yeah, I'll go ahead and call roll. Alberto Luera, Brian Tiekert.
Sorry, I'm here.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Hello, Grace. Jamie yeah. Ross.
Jamie's here, right?
Lonnie's here. Lonnie, you're here, right?
Here.
R. Paul Martin.
Here.
Michael Martin, that would be me. Sherry Gendelman.
Here.
Rob Robinson. Summer Reed. Okay, we're...
And Nicole is here.
I'm sorry?
Nicole is here.
Oh, hi, Nicole. I apologize. I heard you, and I should have recognized you. We are coming back from a recess, so we're working off the current agenda. And they're the 2009 budgetary items and some things that I'm going to ask Brian Tiekert to lay out are on the agenda. But also sitting on our plate as a result of last night's PMD meeting is a discussion of the short-term cash plan. The issue is that the PMD, for those treasurers who didn't hear or don't know about it, the PMD met last night and voted to have a special meeting next Monday. I believe it's Monday, is that right, Sherry?
Yes.
Next Monday to discuss the short-term cash plan to deal with the cash shortage problem. In that regard, I think that the PNB is expecting the National Finance Committee to vet this plan as fully as possible before it goes back to the PNB on Monday. I don't know that Lonnie is prepared to present right now anything but conceptual ideas of what he's working on, but what I'd like to hear from Lonnie before we get to that conceptual plan is when he can be prepared to present the cash plan that he thinks will work the best after, obviously, consultation with Nicole. If that's the case, when NFC could come back in to session before Monday of next week to vet the plan. And I wouldn't envision a long meeting, but I do think that if we put the plan as the single item on the agenda, we could have an efficient, maybe proficient is the correct word, discussion about it. Lonnie,
excuse me,
when
Mr.
do you
Chair.
Think you could have something?
Point of order.
Who was that?
Sherry Gendelman.
Oh, hey, Sherry.
You want to appoint a secretary?
Oh, yeah, let's point it. Who wants to be? Brian did such a great job last time.
I thought it was one of the best jobs I had ever seen.
He really did a great job.
Yeah.
We've managed to set the bar very low, so... Well, I was thinking of nominating Carolyn Burden, since she seems to have the fire in her belly for this kind of thing.
She's not here.
R. Paul took really excellent governance committee minutes when he was the secretary. Is R. Paul on the line?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I'm here.
R. Paul, could I volunteer you?
It's only one meeting. We're going to rotate it, I think, with the chair.
I have a question. There's no actual secretary of this committee?
No.
That's correct. We didn't get any takers, so what we've been doing is rotating the responsibility. Jamie's done it. Brian's done it. Want to do it tonight?
I guess I can do it. One thing, though, when did we approve the agenda on this?
We're working from, this is a recess. Remember, we're in recess from last week, so we're essentially in the same meeting as last week.
Yeah, that was an executive session.
No, it was
in other words, if we have a public session, and if we're going to have a public session, we have to approve the public session agenda in public.
Somebody's phone is messing up here, whoever that is. The agenda's already been approved, R. Paul. We're in.
This is Summer. I just want to check in that I'm here.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
But when did we...
We've already done all that. This is a continuation of a past meeting, so
yeah,
we're just hunting for secretary.
My point being that the previous meeting was an executive session. So you're saying we approved the public agenda in executive session?
Yeah, and that's the way we're going to do it. We're not going to waste time doing that again. I'm just hunting for a secretary.
Sound legal to me. But I'll do the secretary thing.
Okay. Thanks. You're a great man. And we do need to elect the secretary, but that's not on this current agenda, so we'll deal with that at the next formal meeting. Okay, so the thing that we were discussing, which I had just asked Lonnie, is if we are going to vet a short-term cash plan for discussion at PNB next Monday, when can we do that, Lonnie? And I assume that you're going to be running this with Nicole and working with Nicole on this, and that Nicole will have input as well. But when can you have something so that the NFC can do this?
Well, what I guess I would suggest is a Sunday meeting.
Okay.
That would give us Friday to close the business with the stations and these banks, and then Saturday to write it up and Sunday to present. The issue is, how complete will it be? We can give you whatever we have at that moment. The outstanding timeline issues are some stations have not yet completed their FY08 budget reductions. And, of course, they would assume that we can get them to do that between now and Friday. And KPFK has not as yet completed its finalization. And you also have the problem, once they have completed it, in Kay's case, it doesn't seem to be nearly enough to deal with it.
Well, Lonnie, let me just say this. I think that the way you have to look at this is that you are operating under a deadline that has been given to you by the board, which is next Monday, okay? So the NFC is operating under that same deadline, and therefore it's incumbent upon you to tell these general managers that they got to get their act together and their ass in gear, and they got to get this thing done and ready, because that is the timeline that has been created by the governing body of this board. So what I would suggest is that you, with all dispatch, get that message out to whoever needs to get the message so that you can complete your task by Friday, the close of business on Friday. NFC will come back in on Sunday, depending on when the committee members want to meet during that day. Vet your plan. Hopefully you're going to work with Nicole on this, and then we will at least, you will be in a position and the NFC will be in a position to come to the PNB with something concrete for discussion on Monday. I mean, I don't think there's any discretion here. I think that that's, after last night's meeting, I think that's the direction we're moving in here. Don't you think that's fair?
I'm not sure, because I don't have the authority to force budget reductions on the station. I don't have that authority. General managers have to decide what... Well, let me finish the thought before you object. I cannot tell a general manager who to lay off. I can have the general manager present a plan and declare it inadequate and bring it here to the finance committee. But I don't have the unilateral authority to tell a general manager who to lay off. I don't have that authority.
But you can ask him for a plan.
Yes, I can.
What
we're talking about is, what if the general manager does not produce the plan?
Then let's deal with that on Sunday.
Yes, that's what I'm suggesting. Yes. But I'll make every effort. I'll make every effort, as I always do, to suggest what I think as a CFO needs to be done, what options I see for these general managers and the business managers and even the LSBs. But it also is going to take, and we're talking about in the next couple of days with KPFK, that the new general manager, of course he's new and he's still trying to find his way around, and our treasurers, to get with that general manager and try to problem solve this issue. What I'm saying right now is that they have started, but it's not nearly enough to tackle the cash flow problems at KPFK. And
I thought I heard thought I heard Sherry. Did Sherry have a question?
Yeah, he did. I don't know if Lonnie's done, though.
Yeah, that KPFK is the major sort of concern that I have right now. And if you want me to go through all the other stations, I can do that. But the question is, having a plan would have to include, of course, all the stations. And so I was going to just give you a sense of the state of readiness of the other stations. The KPFK is a major one I'm concerned about. While they have made some reductions, they haven't implemented them. And the reductions they've
made.
Point of
order.
Okay, I do want to. Who said point of order?
Sure, you were next on the stack. I think our Paul had a point of order.
That's Brian. We're starting Sunday's meeting now. We don't need a rundown of the stations. We need one on Sunday.
Yeah, that point of order sustained. Sherry.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing, and I don't want to have the conversation in the public session except generally that the finances of the network in each individual station are going to require cost reductions. What the issue is that we have addressed here is that every station has to implement a plan. And if that plan includes reductions in staff, it has to be vetted through the executive director. She is an individual that we hired because of her management, structural, and radio experience. And just willy-nilly cutting off heads or jobs or arms or legs doesn't do it. And we're not asking, we're instructing. And that plan has to be developed under the executive director guidance with the financial constraints that they are informed or inform us of, period. So, and I think Brian's right, we want every... And another thing came up again at yesterday's meeting, and it was raised by a delegate from New York, Jamie Ross, and it was hanging out there from the time, from way before the time that I became a delegate to the National Board, and that's the restructuring of New York. There was a restructuring plan passed by the PNB in one of its incarnations at least 2 years ago, and nothing has been done. And I would like an answer to that issue when we move into executive session.
Any other questions?
May I bring up a point, please? This is Nicole. Thank you, Mike. I just want to mention that Sunday is our live coverage of the Green Convention, and I'm going to be glued to the KU. I'll be over at KPFA until that's over. So I'm a little jammed right now, juggling everything. So just let's make sure we give it a little bit of a break between the convention coverage ending and then the Sunday call.
And when would that be?
That's a really, I think it is noon. I feel terrible. I believe it's noon Pacific time, Mike, but I will get back to you on that tomorrow.
Okay, well, we'll probably need to set a time tonight, but it sounds like a Sunday evening meeting is what's going to be in order. Does that sound fair to you?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Brian. Can I propose 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern?
Brian, was that Brian?
Yeah.
5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Are there any objections to that?
I just have a quick question, Mrs. Summer. We're doing this Sunday call just this time because of the PNB meeting the following Monday. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
You'll have a chance I can't make it or won't be there for all of it because I'm on the air right after that.
Okay. Do the best you can, R. Paul. No objections, then we'll schedule the Sunday meeting to discuss the short-term cash plan for 8 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. That being said, Lonnie, I just kind of want to reiterate one point on this matter, and that is that you and I expressed a significant urgency to the PNB yesterday about our short-term cash flow problem. You and I did that together, okay? And I think the response we got from the PNB was one we could have reasonably expected, and that is that, it's a matter of urgency, and we have to respond, and we have to come up with a plan, and we have to solve this problem. And I applaud the PNB for that. But we got to come through. You know, it like Sherry said, it is an instruction, and we're beyond the point where we can say, I don't have authority to do this, or I don't have authority to do that. I think that between you and Nicole, and I think it's incumbent, said this early, and I agree with Sherry, it's incumbent that you two work together to deal with some of these issues that you may have to deal with this week in order to come up with this the short-term cash plan. Again, I use the word short-term. We're not asking you to develop the entire long-term recovery plan in a week, but you've got to get us out of this cash flow issue. We've got to come up with a plan, however that is, to get our bills paid. And that's what we're going to be talking about Sunday night.
So yeah, we certainly want to work at it.
Okay. Everybody clear on that? Did anybody have anything they wanted to add or discuss about that point?
Well, one question I think does need to be clarified. I want to be clear about how that'll go, because I hear Sherry saying it should go through the executive director, but I hear you saying that it's incumbent on the CFO. And so
I said it's incumbent upon you and the CFO to work together. I think that Sherry and I are saying the same thing.
Okay, just want to be clear. So we will present, hopefully, a joint plan. So I'm happy to do that. I think that's the way to go, because I don't have very much authority over those general managers. And it certainly will be nice working with Nicole and trying to get that done. It'd be great.
Okay, super. Any other questions about this point? Okay, hearing none, what I'd like to do is move to item number 3 on the agenda, which is the 2009 budget. And I'd like to lay out the proposed policy that is outlined in the agenda and recognize Brian Tekert for discussion of that proposed policy.
Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
My feeling is that we are partly in the problem we're in because we did bad budgeting last year. We let through a lot of budgets that did not have realistic assumptions in terms of what their revenue projections were. And one of the reasons those budgets got through was because we were very last minute dealing with them. So I want us to set a deadline for stations to get us their first drafts for review this year. And I want to give the stations guidelines to work with, which are laid out in this motion. One, no budgeting more money than you're making right now. You can't balance your budget by assuming that your income will go up when the trend is down everywhere in the network. Two, I think each station needs to include with their budget an account of how many days they've spent on air fundraising, because we cannot have stations make increasing goals by simply increasing the amount of abusive fundraising they subject their listeners to. You cross a tipping point where you drive away the listeners that you need to ask for money next time. And I'm afraid some of our stations may be close to or over that tipping point right now. Three, this is based on something KPFT's local station board passed, is a cap on fundraising days. I think if any station's spending more than 60 days on the air fundraising, it should budget less listener support the following year. I'm saying 5%, which is not much, but it should assume it's already spending too many days on the air fundraising and should have a goal of trying to knock off a couple days each year. Four, that if you're budgeting an increase in fundraising on any line other than listener support, like grants or major donors, we, governance, the National Finance Committee, the National Board, need to get a written explanation of what the station's logic in assuming fundraising will go up on that line. Five is that every budget should come in with a cash flow forecast through the end of the budget year, because you can have a balanced budget and still not have the money you actually need to pay your bills some months. We have to see that the budgets will actually meet the station's cash needs. It should be obvious why that's important, given the situation the network's in right now. And six, and this will probably be the hardest to achieve, but if a station's opening a fiscal year with less than the equivalent of 1 month's operating expenses, it needs to budget a surplus. That's my proposal, at least. It's also existing PNB policy. It's really been observed in the breach with budgeting. But the fact is that stations don't experience their low watermark in terms of cash at the beginning of the fiscal year on October 1st. They tend to experience it in January, which means you need a cushion of cash at the start of the year, or you're going to wind up in the hole partway through. and the stations that have no cash reserves have to start building them up. So that's the logic behind the proposal. It's included in the agenda that went out for last week's meeting.
Brian, this is Nicole. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
I thank you, and I concur with you about the projections and all that in the few past budgets that I've looked at. On number one, basically what you're saying is that nobody budgets listener support unless it's budgeted on the net that they're currently earning. So we're talking about net, not gross, right?
How are you distinguishing between, do you mean fulfilled?
Yes.
Yes, exactly, fulfilled.
What actually came in.
Yes, what actually came in, fulfilled.
Right, okay, great. I concur with you on that wholeheartedly. Number two, so yes, I agree with that. Number three, I think I completely agree with that as well. I would also add on number four, events. A lot of the events line items got really whacked out. I don't know how they were ever okayed as to the revenue they were projected to bring in.
Mm.
So, that's really one main area where I see a lot of red lights. And also, any restricted money that may either be a carryover from this year or into next year, it really needs to be categorized as restricted and pulled out. And not as the whole, put into their operating or whatever, as I've seen it done.
Right.
And then number five, about a cash flow forecast. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Well, sure. I mean, we've seen very nice cash flow forecasts coming out of your office recently. Basically, what I think every budget should have accompanying it is saying, looking at what our cash balances are today and what our cash forecast is through the end of this fiscal year and what this budget is for the fiscal year, here is what we expect our cash balance to be every month, how many dollars we actually expect to have in the bank.
For the upcoming year?
Yes, in every month of the
budget
year.
Okay. So in other words, working a little bit from the tail end of this fiscal year into the next fiscal year.
Exactly.
Got it.
Because
all right.
With no reserves, you can have a balanced budget that still leaves you unable to pay bills.
Exactly.
Clean fund run.
And that kind of dovetails into six.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's going to be difficult for some of our stations to be able to even gather together less than, 1 month's operating. I mean, if we're already in structural deficit with two stations, that's going to be a really hard one. I think you've really outlined some great guidelines. Thank you, Brian.
Any other questions?
Hey, Lonnie here.
Lonnie.
Thanks, Brian. Some of the stuff over the years we have looked at Finance Committee, so this sort of puts them all in one spot. I do have some other items. And a couple of questions. If you look at the expenditures for the stations, there, of course, each station is different, but a lot of the budget-busting items in these past budgets, not just this year, but last year and the year before, is unanticipated expenses that were not budgeted for. For example, legal, $300,000. And stations will be quick to tell you that they had no idea that these huge legal expenses would be coming at them. We do need a contingency fund budgeted and each unit for legal so that these will not be simply budgeted and unexpected expenses. That's one of the major reasons that budgets get busted.
What would be a good guideline for that, Lonnie? Why don't we slide in an amendment?
Yeah, I think you have to actually get a projection of potential legal station by station. Some stations will have legal, some won't. So So you would have to get a number from what active cases are present at each station and then make a reasonable projection working with corporate counsel. But I think it's essential to have it in there because at the two stations we're talking about, I and K, legal was a major part of their moving into deficit. Okay? The second item is election costs. The network overspent the elections by $200,000, and those election costs were passed on to the stations. So there has to be some sort of fixed budget to control these out-of-control expenses, and the election is one of them. Now, next year, there is not an election, and we say, okay, it'll look to be in 09, but people forget.
There is an election next year.
Yeah, Lonnie, the dates all trigger in 08.
Yes, that's what I was about to say, that the budget process and the expense project start toward the end of next year, at the end of this fiscal. So that has to be taken into consideration. The other budget overages were coming, if you look back, from the board itself. The board has to be given a budget that it cannot exceed for severance pay, for extra expenses that the board approved without the funds to pay for it. So we must have some guidelines for the board as well.
Well, Lonnie, I agree with you on all those points. Now, my thought is that when you have a budget that's approved, you, through the budget, impose some caps on spending, then you have to enforce them.
Yeah, but the board, it's hard to tell the board they can't spend $100,000 on severance. They did. I told them, we don't have the money. Then it ended up having to go around and take money out of our investment portfolio to pay for it. So we need to be clear with the board or in our governance structure that the budget is the budget and that no funds should be expended unless they are identified where it's going to come from. So those, you add up all of those things that I just mentioned, overages in election, overages in governance, overages in legal, they add up to $700,000-$800,000. So, and those charges end up being charged to the board, I mean, to the station. So I think we ought to have some guidelines, because they're the ones that really busted a lot of the budget, certainly the two stations we're talking about. So if we can work up some language there, I think that would be great. It could be covered in a single item, asking that each budget have a 5-10% contingency fund, depending on how much money that would come to. But if you've got a station with a $4 million budget, then you end up with a $200,000 contingency fund. I think that's critical. The last, and I think a lot of these expenses could be captured with a contingency fund. The last item is I think that having a one-month surplus, especially for stations that have no reserves, it's absolutely essential. You can't have stations start a fiscal year essentially in the hole. That is, they end up with the notion that, oh, if we break even in year one, it's okay. We had this battle on this finance committee for years where finance committee members were arguing that it's okay to break even. It is not okay to break even. It just means that you start the year one full month in the hole and have to spend all of your proceeds in the October drive paying September bills. So I think, and that's how these two stations got into issues and problems and continued. Every year, they either break even or simply did not, or simply came up with deficits. So I think that having the 1 month proviso is absolutely essential. You're just asking for trouble if you think break even or you show a $50,000 surplus and that's good. No, you need a half a month. A full month in the bank, at least you end the fiscal year with it, and we should insist that that be the case. Otherwise, any station that breaks even at the end of any fiscal is essentially borrowing money or using up savings if they have them or starting the year with a deficit in the hole. So that proviso, I think, is so critical. Anyway, those are the things that popped out with me, and I think that the other ones are great. I don't have an issue with any of them except for number two. I think that needs a little clarification. That it says accounting or how many days they spent on air fundraising during each fund drive of the current fiscal, and how many expects to spend fundraising in the remainder of it. I'm assuming that refers to the next fiscal year?
No. If you submit a budget for review in July and you're still planning to have fund drive days in August or September,
yeah,
then your current year forecast should also show how many days you expect to spend fundraising in the remainder of the year to meet your forecast.
Yeah, okay, that's clarifying. But the question then would be, in the budget for next year, 09, ought there be a budget of a budget number of days that the station expects to be in drive to meet those fund drive goals?
Good
now,
point. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because what happens this year, and it was one of the things that were pretty astounding this year, that it's not showing up in the budget, is that stations would go into drive, and they would see drive fatigue, listener fatigue, and they would reduce the number of days, thereby reducing the available dollars, thereby creating a deficit. Changing not just the days, but changing the drive goals is a critical decision. One station moved their drive 1 month back from goal, not realizing that they're going to lose a whole month's revenue. Other stations dropped their drive goals from what was in the budget to a lesser number. I think that has to be approved, that you can, because it creates instant problems. But you have essentially said, I'm not going to raise $800,000 on this drive. I'm going to raise $700,000. And the reasons may be quite legitimate, but it does create an instant $100,000 deficit. And so I think in order for a station to change the budgeted drive goal, they have to get some sort of approval, because it will create and does create problems. Now, you look at all these stations that we had, most of them did just that, dropped their goals. They had their reasons, and I'm not saying they were good or bad, or they were probably good reasons, but it happened, but it created an instant deficit because the money simply wasn't raised.
Well, Lonnie, let me suggest that these are very valid points, but we have two separate issues, and one is, how do you draw up a budget, and then once you've approved a budget, how do you enforce it?
Yeah.
And I think the second part is a separate discussion than what we're confronted with in the next week or two as we try to get budgets into place for next year. And I think you all do need good enforcement mechanisms, and this committee would be a suitable place to have that conversation, but it might make it too complicated to take that up today.
If I may, I'm just sitting here listening to you all. Who was that?
This is Nicole.
Nicole. Before Nicole speaks, I was just listening to you guys, and I came up with some language. And it seems to me, on that point, you could offer the sentence on number two at the end of the period that says, no unit may modify drive goals and fundraising days after adoption of the budget without PNB approval. I mean, there it is. That takes care of it. Why not adopt that issue right now?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, Mike. Yeah, just in response to that, I think getting PNB approval on such an operational issue is difficult, and I think it sets these drives in stone.
Oh, you want to say executive director approval?
I'm a little surprised the way that kind of the drives are talked about in the first place, because they are fluid. And we hopefully are going to be in a period of also experimenting with alternative methods of fundraising and of doing these drives.
Do you want executive director approval as opposed to PNB approval?
Well, I think at least the national office. I think PNB approval is a little onerous, and it really gets into operational issues.
So you want to call national office approval. Okay. So what we would say with that sentence is, no unit may modify drive goals and fundraising days after adoption of a budget without national office approval.
If that's the way we want to set up consequences, or at least everybody gets a heads up as to what's going on, so that then planning can be done around that. It has to be, you know, Lonnie's correct. It needs to be discussed. It can't be discussed after the fact. Oh, by the way, we lowered our goal. You know, that just can't be discussed after the fact. But there's other aspects to this that are like getting the stations together and everybody deciding on the same fundraising date. We have to begin to look at it that way as well. So that will help to, I think, bring into line the fundraising dates are set, and also that, you know, within that there's no wiggle room. And with regard to the goals, they're going to have to make an extra step. At least we know when the fundraisers are, and those are at least set in stone. And they'll have to take an extra step in why they would lower the goal. But
okay.
Some other things I wanted to talk about listening to all this was that it's good to talk about break-even, it's good to have reserves and all that, but again, without consequences. What are the consequences if a station ends up without a month operating? Yes, it's a different topic than the finances or the budget or the numbers, but I don't see why we drill down so heavily on it since there haven't been consequences, and we have to begin to think about that. I mean, what do you do to a station? You know, I mean, they're not...
Well, and Nicole, this has actually come up early on, and then we got moved off it because of the crisis. But I think in our very first meeting, or maybe I'm thinking of the brief time I was on the board 4 years ago, at least I advocated the adoption of a network-wide contingency policy to deal with that issue, that if that exigency arose, that as a matter of policy, there were certain things, certain steps that had to automatically be taken as a matter of policy. I don't think we can incorporate that here, but I do think that's an issue that we should visit this year and perhaps adopt with, you know, with your and Lonnie's, you know, complete, you know, input on what the best way to have an automatic system set up to deal with those units that go into essentially deficit spending. So I think that's a valid point. We can't let go of that. We have to keep that on the horizon in terms of our tasks this year.
Right. Just a couple of other, three more points about the budget. So in the 2009 budget-making process, I'm wondering where is the space to take into consideration some of the consolidation possibilities that we have, the more long-term strategic plan that you've been asking for. In reducing expenses, how are we going to be flexible enough? Because obviously we're going to be building a budget on the same old infrastructure. That we're hoping to change and transform and make sustainable. So what's the process as we move forward to be able to have a flexible budget around fulfilling or implementing the more long-term strategic goals? That's one consideration. A little more brass tacks is, I'm a little confused about central services. So what governance expenses get covered by central services and what doesn't? Is it only elections that don't get covered? And then is everything else, like the conference call, you know, bills and all that, is that taken out of central services? So I remain confused on that. And then also when we talk about adding in costs, I think we have to be wary of the way the extra fees around FSRN were added to the budget. At the same time, we have to look at programming contingency funds. Should another war break out? Should anything, you know, another Katrina happen, whatever? Where do we begin to build? Should it be at the station level or the national office budget level, a contingency fund for programming?
Those are good questions. I think that in looking at this particular policy, we need to look at this policy, adopt it as policy as kind of an outline for moving forward. But I think in the entire breathing process of budget drafting, that your long-term contingency or long-term recovery plan and strategic plan is going to be a product of staff, national office staff's interaction with GMs and y'all's work to formulate that budget. I mean, I think you're already in the driver's seat on that issue, Nicole, really, and hopefully we'll help in that regard. But I think what Brian is focusing in on here are our policies. And if I may, both you and Lonnie brought up the issue of elections. And NFC has driven that issue to the PNB at this point. And I think that NFC can't let go of that issue in driving it to the PNB. And what we did last night, of course, is ask the PNB or ask the Elections Committee to go into emergency sessions to begin dealing with reforming the elections to reduce cost in some sort of faster, better, cheaper way. That issue is out there. Board governance, NFC drove the issue to PNB last night of at least one component of that, which is an austerity plan for meetings, which NFC needs to keep on pushing and hopefully get something adopted in that. But any other way that we can formulate at this level ways to deal with reduction in governance, I don't think we need to incorporate those things into policy, but we have to remember that what you guys are saying and expressing these concerns by category is exactly what, in the next 2.5 months, we are going to have to squarely address in the budgetary process. Except for the last one, which Lonnie brought up, and I had some language while I was listening to Brian and Lonnie, and that is the legal thing. I drafted this sentence that just says, a contingency line item shall be offered by each unit for legal expense, so that nobody can back out of that. And we begin incorporating that legal expense accountability in the budget up front, as opposed to it being a surprise. And it may very well force general managers to think about whether they're going to get sued or what they've done wrong. That dovetails into the whole litigation risk management plan. I think that both what Lonnie and Nicole have said, and I don't mean to dominate this discussion, are valid points that we have to carry with us. I think Brian's proposal with these perhaps two amendments and perhaps anything else is ripe for adoption for serving as the structure upon which we build these budgets moving forward into July and August. Is there any discussion on that point?
Jamie.
Yeah, he's in our point.
Yeah, this is Jamie. Yes, I would support Brian's motion. I think it's very good. The budget process, as I've watched it over the years, seems to be, at least from the BAI perspective, has been marked by unrealistic assumptions around income. And, you know, I would say at least in BAI's case, what has busted our budget for years is just that, unrealistic assumptions around income. It really hasn't been election costs or legal costs that have been the main reason why we continue to miss our budget. You know, just for instance, in the May 2008 income statement, we have an overage in expenses on elections of $75,000, but altogether we're $796,000 behind what the budgetary goals are. So the elections, while not inconsequential, are not the majority of our problem at WBAI, and I think that Brian's motion would address that well, so I would support it.
Paul.
Okay. I agree with Jamie largely, and Brian's thing seems to be largely okay. The thing about reserves, because reserves are supposed to be there for emergencies. And at WBAI, we've already heard, and it's public knowledge, that there are supposed to be 6.5 full-time equivalent cuts. And this is a pretty large percentage of paid staff hours. And if we're going to take a month's worth of operating expenses and basically, you know, put that somewhere for an emergency. Well, we're already going to have an emergency if we're laying off or cutting back or firing staff that actually do work and make the radio station function. In order to have a reserve for emergencies. In other words, the reserve for emergencies can cause an emergency, a bigger emergency than we already have. So I am not sure that, you know, the reserve thing is really useful for a station like WBAI in its current crisis mode, because I just think that we're beyond that. We're not in some sort of normal business thing. So I think we need to seriously think about the fact that the reserve for emergencies will cause an emergency. And I have to note that WBII hasn't made a drive goal in years. And I'll echo again what Jamie said. The problem isn't a whole bunch of legal issues at BAI. The problem has been complete fantasy budget. And it's not just FY08. It's been going on for years. I complained about this 3 years ago when the then general manager of the radio station said he was going to base the budget on modest optimism instead of what we've done in the past. Last year we had a budget based on an increase of 6.5% in our fulfillment rate, and when we finally got an answer for how this was going to happen, we were told carts would be played in the air and there would be free gifts for people. Well, you know, I don't think our fulfillment rate is...
I'm sorry, a motorcycle went by. You were told what?
We were told at BAI by the interim general manager at that time that we would achieve our net income from the on-air fundraising by an increased fulfillment rate of 6.5%, and this would happen because there would be carts played on the air and people would get free gifts, which didn't make any sense to me then and wouldn't make any sense to me now. I mean, asking people to fulfill their pledges is fine, but projecting that that's automatically going to give you 6.75% increase in fulfillment rate was a total fantasy. Plus, the tally goals were fantasies. We haven't met any one of them. So WBAI's problem is legal. It's something else.
Well, if I could, I think you make Jamie's point from last night that we can't forget our history in terms of these budget constructions, and you may make the point for tonight that we need to understand our history, which may be where we're, you know, the operational audit argument as well, because that's on the agenda as well coming up. But in the context of the policies that we're adopting, we have to look at what's responsible for the whole network. You don't have any problem with that from that point of view, recognizing there are lots of historical issues that you're going to have to, you know, sift out.
Right? Lonnie here.
Lonnie.
Yeah, well, you know, in the income statement that I send out every month, the historical data is there. If you go down to WBAI, you'll see the audit, 04, 05, and 06. And also, in the columns, some of those are hidden columns you can open up, you have the budgets for each year. And you can compare what was budgeted with what the actual results were for the station. In every category, from revenue to expenses. And that is valuable historical information. Now, if you look at it, what do you see? You see that in the budget for 05, it's here. You can look at it. Totaled.
Hey, Lonnie, I'm just trying to keep the meeting efficient. I really appreciate what you're doing here, and I was trying to gently push our paw, but the historical discussion's appropriate if we could get maybe to the next agenda item.
I really want to
focus on these policies right now and see if we can get that ball moving.
I understand, but the issue was brought up about the history. I'm pointing out where that history can be seen.
Okay. And we'll come back
Jamie
to it.
Jamie would like to get on the stack.
Okay. If we could keep, in terms of the germaneness of the discussion, our discussion to the 6 or 7 points that we've got currently before us.
Sherry.
Laid out, Brian. So Jamie and then Sherry.
Yeah, my one point is that to compare the audited numbers to the budgeted numbers is not a perfect comparison because the auditor has a different definition of what, say, listener support is than what the budget, what we use in our monthly statements. So those comparisons
are true.
Again, I think we're off subject here. I want to get back on the 6 or 7 points that are currently before us for adoption, if we could. Sherry.
I just had a response to our Paul and his talking about the consequences or impact of a month reserve. I think what Brian has proposed is this foundation adopting policies that will stabilize it and have it operating according to industry standards, even though, well, you're correct, there are areas that are critical that need addressing either in our executive session or with our contingency or short-term cash contingency or recovery plans, that the issues of which are outside of the guidelines that Brian has proposed. But if we want to do business as if we're a radio network, then I think Brian's proposals, including having a cash reserve for every station in the network, is essential for this foundation once it gets on its feet.
If I can just jump in, Mike, this is Brian.
Brian, go ahead.
The word reserve does not appear anywhere in my motion. I'm dealing with this as a cash issue. If you don't have much money in the bank starting your budget year, you need to budget a surplus. That's what it says, of 1 month. And the reason is because if you start a year with zero cash in the bank, even if your spending is in line with your income, there is a time, if you chart your cash flow over the course of a year at any one of our five stations, sometime in January usually, though, and some it's February, where if you're starting from zero at the beginning of the fiscal year, you'll have to be borrowing money to pay your bills. Because the low watermark in terms of your bank balances is not the start of the year. It's the dead zone in your longest stretch between fund drives, which is over those winter holidays. So what this is saying is if you're not starting the fiscal year, the budget year, with enough cash in the bank to cover that low watermark, then you need to budget a cushion. And that's what that 1 month surplus is. Does that make sense?
That's to me. Any questions about that?
Well,
yes, does somebody have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, but it's still going to have to...
You have to identify yourself.
R. Paul. But it's still going to have to come from somewhere. And I'm just saying, cutting staff for that is perhaps not a good idea at a station like BAI that's already pretty thin as it is. That's all.
Okay, what I would suggest, I was going to suggest that we move the six items with, if nobody had any objection, adding the one sentence relating to modification of drive goals and the seventh item about contingency item for legal, which I may have to reread to you, if there's no objections.
Could I make sure that I've got this since I'm secretary?
Yes. We're looking at moving the six items, and then what I had suggested for item number two, after the end of the last, after the end of the sentence, would be the following sentence: No unit
may modify drive goals or fundraising days without national office approval.
No unit may modify drive goals and fundraising days after adoption of the budget without national office approval.
After adoption, okay.
And then a number seven, which reads, a contingency line item shall be offered by each unit for legal expense.
Should we make that more specific, Mike? I mean, the question would be, where does that line come from? Corporate counsel, the CFO, the ED?
I think it ought to come from GM to start with, but that may not be the best way to do it. I don't know.
Okay,
what do you think?
A contingency line item shall be offered by each unit for legal expense, and that goes where? As number seven?
That would be a number seven. Okay. I guess what's implied in that sentence is if it's being offered by the unit, it has to come from the unit, whether it's the national office or the station involved. But we could...
I think that the corporate council has to give a station some idea of what legal expenses it may encounter during the year.
Well, certainly a GM could consult with corporate council, and it would be logical for them to do that. But I think that we just should leave that up to staff to execute that.
Yeah, I'm suggesting that we get that number from corporate.
I'm suggesting that we get that number from corporate counsel for inclusion in the budget.
I concur with Mike. This is Nicole. I think that they can, you know, inquire to the general counsel, but I would take that up as well to the GM.
Yeah, I think it ought to be broad. You guys can execute it however you think is best.
Sounds good.
Okay, with those two amendments, is there any objection to adoption of the proposed 2009 budgetary policy?
I had wanted to add some language to cover governance costs.
Well, what I was trying to convey to you, Lonnie, on that was that I don't... You want a separate line item on governance costs? Is that what you want?
I'm leaning toward the idea, just as stations and units have budgets, and we have adopted policies around how those budgets shall be worked through, we should have something on governance. They have a budget. It is included as well. And so we need some language about governance expenses. It certainly is a point of contention around the network.
This is Nicole. Well, does governance expenses come out of central services, Lonnie?
Governance expenses, when we talk about it, meaning elections and the cost of board meetings and these conference calls and the rest of it, come from basically two sources. One of them is the SCA monies that we receive and central services, yes. Those two sources. And when stations, of course, have less revenue through whatever mechanism the goals change, that means less money for the board. It means less money for all of the things that... that are in that board budget, and I'm not sure that the board has made that connection clearly. Well,
Lonnie, wait a minute. So if the governance expenses are included in central services, then why would the governance expenses be a line item in the station's budget? Is that what you propose?
No, I'm saying that we have a budget for the board. It's in our income statement, and that's tracked every month. And often what happens is that the board will exceed its own budget without comment. And we have to have them become sensitive to the fact there is a budget and have them agree the same policies we're wanting the stations to apply.
Where do you suggest, I think what one of the points Nicole's driving at is, where do you suggest, where are we parking this budgetary item? Is it going to be parked in the national office, or is it going to be parked someplace else?
Well, it's in the... national office budget, and it's shown separately with the board breakout. But I'm thinking if you look at item one, maybe that you say no unit, and simply have a caveat that a unit includes governance.
No, the units are the five stations, the national office, and the Pacifica Radio Archives.
Yes, okay, fine. But
I mean,
there are
seven discrete financial units. That's quite clear about the structure of the network.
Okay, that's fine. But I don't believe that it's responsible not to have some sort of fruit and controls on governance expenses.
Well, I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you.
Where did you put money? What language are you recommending?
The language that I guess I would move is that governance expenses, including legal, election, and other costs shall adhere to budget guidelines, and I think should require majority or two-thirds vote of the board to change those budgets, just as we would want stations not to change their budgets without some sort of process.